house where I grew up had one phone. It hung on the kitchen wall and had a long cord that stretched to the end of the hall. It was barely long enough to reach my bedroom. If I really wanted to talk in private, I had to walk to the nearest payphone. This was long ago, in the days before everyone had their own cell phone. In my teens, I mostly used the phone to talk to girls, but I wasn't very good at it. I never knew quite what to say. I had trouble reading the mood of the person at the other end of the line. Did they enjoy talking to me, or were they rolling their eyes, just waiting for the call to end? My phone conversations were made up mostly of insecure chatter interspersed with awkward pauses, much like my prayer life, and for the same reason. Those calls, as I remember them, were usually one-sided. My prayer life feels the same. I seem to do all the talking. I know that there are some Christians for whom prayer is a dialogue. They come away from prayer filled with thoughts and impressions from God. It's as if He has a conversation with them. That has never been true for me. For me, talking to God is a lot like trying to talk to an introvert. He's a really good listener, but He never seems to have much to say. In fact, He never seems to have anything to say, at least not out loud. The writer of the New Testament book of Hebrews says, "God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But I don't always feel like God is talking to me. I've often wondered why. Maybe it's like the phone on the kitchen wall. Because I can't see His face or hear the inflection in His voice, God seems to be inscrutable to me. I'm tempted to interpret God's silence as indifference toward me, or worse. I find God's silent nature to be a mystery. At times it's a frustration. After all, it's not as if God has trouble with words. He was the first to speak. Genesis 1 tells us that God spoke the worlds into existence. He's also a prolific author. I've read his book more than once. And for some reason, God prefers to speak through others. He doesn't use His own voice. Instead, God communicates through the prophets and the writers of Scripture. It has occurred to me that God's silence may actually be an act of mercy. When the Israelites heard God speak on Mount Sinai, they begged Moses to act as their go-between so that they wouldn't have to hear it again. "We will die if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer," they said. "For what mortal has ever heard the voice of the living God speaking out of fire as we have and survived? Go near and listen to all that the Lord our God says, then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you. We will listen and obey." It seems that prayer isn't about hearing God's voice at all. It's about speaking. Prayer is the simplest act in all religion. It is simply speaking to God, the 19th century church leader J.C. Ryle observed. He said it needs neither learning, nor wisdom, nor book knowledge to begin it. It needs nothing but heart and will. The weakest infant can cry when it's hungry. The poorest beggar can hold out their hand for alms and does not wait to find fine words. The most ignorant person will find something to say to God if they only have a mind. The essence of prayer is in the asking. Although the answer to prayer is no small thing, it's not the only thing. We don't always get what we want when we pray. Sometimes we make our request and find that we must wait for the answer. Sometimes we ask and get something different. There are times when we ask and it seems that we don't get anything at all. Prayer isn't about getting. It's about being heard. It's also about being known. "Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him," Jesus assures us in Matthew 6:8. "I usually know what I want, but I don't always know what I need. My prayers are often ignorant." God's answers are not. We find God's refusals, when they come, hard to accept. Indeed, we have such an aversion to them that some of us have developed a theology of prayer which leaves no room for God to say no. If we don't get our request, we're told it's our fault. It means we don't have enough faith, or maybe the right kind of faith. But God's right of refusal is proof of the relational nature of prayer. The essence of request, as distinct from compulsion, is that it may or may not be granted, C.S. Lewis observes. Lewis offers the prayer of Jesus as irrefutable evidence. "In Gethsemane, the holiest of all petitioners prayed three times that a certain cup might pass from him Lewis explains, it did not. After that, the idea that prayer is recommended to us as a sort of infallible gimmick may be dismissed. I think my problem with prayer is that I've misread the silence. Silence can mean many things. It's true that silence is sometimes a signal of irritation. It can be a mark of contempt. But silence is also the comfortable space that has been carved out by long familiarity. Two people who sit together for hours in silent happiness do so because they enjoy being in one another's presence. Silence is a mark of someone who is listening carefully. I know that I am not a great man of prayer. I don't pray as I ought. What I have to say to God is usually dull and unimaginative. I'm repetitive and sometimes I'm whining. I'm pretty sure that if I had to listen to myself pray, I would soon grow bored. I have moments in prayer when I lose heart. I also know that the fault is mine. I misinterpret the silence on the other end of the line, mistaking it for boredom or contempt, when in reality, it is the silence of presence. I know that I don't pray well, but perhaps I don't have to pray well to know that God has heard me.